Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Hi, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the master wealth builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses, and I am very excited to be here again today, sharing another episode of hashtag I Am Riviera Beach with my co-host Dan Calloway as we interview Ann Isles, former Riviera Beach Council member. And I am still, yes, I am still thoroughly convinced after reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell that we are all leaving our diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact, the diamonds we seek are found within us and in our hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Bertha Ann Isles, better known as Ann Isles, was born in September 1947 and raised in Lake Wales, Florida, to William and Cassie Adams. She was the third child and oldest daughter in the clan. In 1965, Ann graduated from Roosevelt High School and received her associate a science degree in clinical laboratory technology from Polk County College in 1970, and was introduced to the world of politics when she decided to help her brother, Gerald Adams, bid for the Palm Beach County School Board. In 1983, she decided to enter the Riviera Beach Council race. She was successful, making her and her brother siblings to sit on the city council in the state of Florida at the same time. In her bid for re-election in 1985, she made history again by being the first and only incumbent in the state to be defeated by a write-in candidate. However, she was appointed back to serve out the term when the new person quit. Since that time, Ann has had to devote her energy to caring for an aging husband, raising a minor child, grandchild, managing mentally disabled child, and an ailing sibling. Unfortunately, Ann's husband, Keenan Isles, transitioned from this life on October 1st, 2020. Her babysitter, Jerry Lee, made her transition on August 6th, 2021. And I will make a special comment and say that Ann Isles has been a personal friend of mine for many, many years. And prior to the show starting tonight, we just talked about how long it's been since we connected. And I was reminding her many years ago when I used to travel with her to visit her mom. So Ann and Dan Calloway, it is a pleasure to be on this show today interviewing, I'm not going to say old friend, but literally a good friend from a long, long time ago. So welcome to the show, and Isles, and turning the show over to you, Dan Calloway. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everybody. And it's wonderful, not only that we're personal friends, well, me and you, just like one of your sisters and, of course, Gerald, your brother, and, of course, I've eaten at your parents' home over there in I don't know, was that Bato, Lake Wales, or whatever the town was. It was just good meals. I need to talk to you because right now we're back on the former elected officials in Riviera. And, of course, next week there will be another friend of yours, Cynthia Becton, on here. And I think that I need you to tell the listening audience why you said in your bio that you got into politics because of Gerald, your brother. He helped campaign for him, and I was right there too for him when he was running for the school board. What was it like to be a brother and sister elected at the same time and knowing you have the sunshine law that you couldn't be without a public meeting, have two or more people in a conversation. How was that working out that you had to keep it in with Gerald? Explain that to the listening audience.
Dan, before I answer your question, let me first say thank you to Ann McNeil and you for this invitation, and also to say to your listening audience, good afternoon, and may God bless. Gerald and I were 3 years apart in our ages. When I got into high school, he was just graduating, and he went off to college. We were very close because that's what my mother required. And when I got elected to the city council, many people in the community thought that he was going to tell me how to vote. Well, at that point in my life, Gerald had not been in the same household with me for decades. I was married and had a family. So Gerald did not try to influence the way that I thought, and he wouldn't have been able to anyway because we had different mindsets. And it's funny, we were both born under the sign of Libra, not that, you know, I put a whole lot of emphasis on that, but it's that similarities in mindset. We were completely different. He was a Republican. I was a Democrat. So the things that came up before the council were not partisan, but we had our own minds about how things should be done, what we thought was the best for the community. We had a rule in our house long before I got elected. When we assembled at my mother's house for Thanksgiving or Christmas, Mom's rule was there would be no discussion at the table about politics, sex, what people was doing out in the world. If you wasn't going to talk about Jesus, you wasn't going to talk about anything. So it wasn't difficult for us to not have side conversations with each other when we sat on the council because we knew what the rules. The rules are for, in my estimation, people who are that are corrupt or who are hard-headed, who don't want to follow the rules. The rules, I don't feel, cover people who have good intentions and will follow those intentions. You have a moral compass, and you know that the rule says you will not talk about issues outside the council chamber that pertain to the city. So that's all that we did. It wasn't difficult to do.
Okay. Well, that's real good for the public to know that because there's a thing called the Sunshine Law.
Exactly.
I know it was history that a brother and sister, now we have had a husband and wife, not at the same time. Bobby Brooks was the mayor for a long time, and then his wife, Billy Brooks, was a council person for a long time, but they never were there at the same time. I think, knowing you and your late brother Gerald well as I do or did, I thought that was just beautiful because knowing you, you were going to speak your mind, and knowing him, he's going to speak his mind. So that I was just getting a little clarity because that question was asked so many times. They're going to always vote together. So you got two block votes already, and so you had to all have to get one more, and you obviously win, but that wasn't so. Tell us a little about your job back there then, and then I'll ask another question. See, because you worked in a job in the health field. Explain that to the public.
I was employed with the Comprehensive AIDS Program, better known as CAP. CAP was an organization that provided assistance to people who were HIV positive or had AIDS. I was in the education department where I traveled throughout the community, our Palm Beach County community, trying to bring awareness of HIV, how it is transmitted, how people can test to see if they have been exposed to the virus. And then the agency took care of telling people, providing the medications and the other resources that they needed to try to keep themselves healthy and alive. So we had the opinion people were extremely afraid of this virus because of misinformation, like we're going through today, thinking that there was all kinds of ways that one could acquire the virus. But you have to have close personal contact to get HIV. It's either through blood, through sex, or a pregnant woman could possibly pass it through her to her child. It's not like this virus today where exposure to just being around someone through the air, because it's airborne. So, but plenty of people were afraid to even touch a fork or sit in the same chair that someone with HIV had used, and trying to get people to understand that, no, you can't get it by taking a bath in the same tub that someone used who is HIV positive. So the hysteria, not quite as bad as it is today, but there were plenty. People were shunned because they were positive. People lost their jobs because they were positive. So in this country, for some reason, we don't want to wait and listen to all of the facts. And sometimes maybe the facts are put out too early. I don't know. That's another debate. But we need to make sure that we understand what's going on. HIV is still prevalent in our community. We don't hear a lot about it anymore, but people are still getting infected. Senior citizens are still getting infected, and that's the age group, you know, that I've been in quite a while. And understanding how seniors are passing this virus among themselves is kind of staggering to me. Because we get to the point where once a person gets to be 60 or 65, we think they're no longer engaging in sexual activity, and that's not true. So we still need to understand that our behaviors, and sometimes people are getting infected not based on what they do. They can get it through a blood transfusion. That's why the blood banks have done tremendous work in screening blood products. But is it 100% sure? Nothing is 100% sure. That's the argument I hear today. We don't know what's in the vaccine. Well, you didn't know what was in anything else that you take. You don't know what's in an aspirin when you take it. You don't know what's in the cream that you rub on your joints for aching, for pain. So we've got to have some kind of trust that God has given talent to the people who are making the products that are helping us in these ways, that he's in control of it. And we need to allow him to be in control of it. Take the information that's suited for our lives and utilize the information. And I hope I'm not, because this is a topic that I think I could speak for hours and hours on. The health of our community is extremely important. And
well,
we need to take the hysteria out of it.
Well, this is one of the reasons why you're the guest, because you're an expert. This is the most important topic that I can ask questions about, because I know less than most. But I do know I was back there then when everybody was afraid to walk in the same room. I was working in Belgrade in the sheriff's office at the time being, setting up all kind of programs. And people used to fuss at me saying, why would you go over there? You're going to get the AIDS. I said, why am I going to get the AIDS? He said, because everybody from the Glades is going to get the AIDS because of their working conditions and breathing, this, that, and the other. But that was the ignorance of everything. You are an expert.
It's ironic that back then folks were afraid to go into a room because they because they knew somebody who had HIV was present. But now today they fight to go into a room not caring whether someone is carrying the coronavirus. And how things have flipped is simply amazing to me. And folks, I don't have the answer. I have a lot of questions and I have a lot of opinions about how people are reacting to this, but they need to understand and believe this virus is far more dangerous than they think HIV was.
Well, this is why I really want you to give us the comparison. That's what I was working up to. You're saying, and I believe this wholeheartedly, because it wasn't that many. It was a lot of people dying from AIDS, but they could handle AIDS. Finally, they got some kind of a medicine that could, because Magic Johnson, when he got AIDS, and they went through that, and Magic Johnson, everybody told him he was going to die, and now he's a billionaire and everything like that. But I need you to elaborate a little bit. You said, and I need you to repeat that and give me a little more on that. With all these people dying in Florida, Texas, and everywhere else because they didn't get the vaccine, which I don't understand when people and then our governor and everybody in the state of Florida think that we can just be dying here and not be vaccinated. But nobody was giving us any kind of medicine until they found out you had the AIDS. There wasn't nothing to prevent having the AIDS before you got the AIDS before, other than be abstinent most of the time and watch out with the transfusion of blood. Are you telling me, living with the pandemic of the virus now, is much greater danger to us than HIV was?
I believe that is true, Dan, because it's airborne. And unfortunately, people can be infected with COVID-19 and not know it. And that's where I think the problem lies. Folks can be infected, not know it, go out, and when you speak, you are spraying vapors out through your mouth. You are spraying droplets out through your mouth. The virus is going to be in those droplets. And when other people come past you, pass by you or in your vicinity, and you have sprayed, when you're speaking, you spray these droplets out with the virus in it, they can inhale that. They don't know that because they can't see it. And they are inhaling it. And it gets into their system and infects them and makes them sick. They don't know what's causing it. A lot of people think they just have a cold or have the flu. They're around other people who they are coughing and talking and singing and laughing, and they are spraying droplets out into the air just like how they got it. Other people are getting infected. So in my mind, that makes it far more dangerous in terms of transmission. And if I am to believe what I hear these doctors and nurses getting on TV describing the symptoms and what people are going through once they are infected, they can't breathe on their own any longer, that this virus is kicking, you know what, kicking your rear end really bad. And it is not just staying in the respiratory system. It's attacking other organs as well. So people who want to refuse to wear a mask because of their rights, where is that line where your right begins to infringe on someone else's right to stay healthy? And I guess that's part of the debate that's going on today, but I would rather people wear the mask and not need it than for folks who have needed it, gotten infected, possibly dying, and then look at people and say, well, you should have done this. This is the community thing. It doesn't know white, black, man, woman, child. It doesn't know us. Viruses only goal is to survive. And unfortunately, it needs a host to reproduce itself. And with HIV and Corona-19, it uses the human body so efficiently to reproduce itself. And the only way we can kill it off is not allow it to get into our bodies.
Okay. Now, I agree 1,000% with you. And I'm so embarrassed that the county commissioner, not the county commissioner, the county administrator, Virginia Baker, asked me about 2 months ago to be her conduit to Riviera and to the Glades. You know that I go out and speak and still involved with a lot of people out in the Glades. That all I had to do was get a number and call her, and she will have the mobile unit to go right there and give them the shots, the vaccine. Well, when people come up with all these dumb ideas, and that's just dumb, I don't know what where they get it from. And then when the governor, sometime in the government, and the governor, and then the president, and they make statements, and then people with less intelligence sometimes buy into that. And then they go and they get in a gang of people, and they just busting like in the barber shop or way up on the corner of the street, trying to be impressive with that, and we dying every day. Now, you are you able, only in the city of Riviera Beach, since we in our 100th year, and since I'm the person they chose to put on all the activities, and I've been pondering this here for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I just left the city manager. We had a big government day at Reverend Adam Church, and that's Mount Zion on 9th Street. I'm going to tell him next week I need to get a panel of what I think is people with expert like you. You were on the front line. That was your job. I don't, because you're an elected official doesn't mean you know health problems. If you're being elected to anything didn't help you, you went to school, you were certified of having that job. Are you willing to sit on the panel of 5 to 7 people, and I'll
sure.
call them experts with the pandemic, and then go back with the AIDS and so on? I think we need a background of experience, something. See, when you go through something and go through it, you are better off than you were before you ever tried to go through it. Now, are you ready to be able to do that?
I'm available, Dan. The last few years of my life, like I said, had to be devoted to health problems within my family. But I'm ready to find something else to take me out of myself, really, to stop
mm-hmm.
thinking about all of what I've been through. I firmly believe that I'm just not a trained and licensed teacher, but I think that I am a teacher of sorts. And I don't mind just giving out information so people can make better decisions for their lives. For their lives is something that I am happy to do. So whatever, however I can help on any kind of panel to try to get my people involved in taking an active role in taking care of themselves. It's okay for the government to come along and give us advice and tell us what to do and make resources available. But it's up to us to grab those resources, distribute those resources through our community by allowing our people to know that, number one, those resources are available. Number two, to make it accessible to them, if you have to load up some of these church buses and take people to where those resources are. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and I'd be more than happy. What are the reasons that I settled in Riviera Beach? Like I say, I got involved with my brother's campaign for his bid for the school board. But looking at, I often ask myself, where is home for me? Lake Wells gave me my foundation in terms of my moral values and how I view people in the community. But Riviera Beach gave me something else just as important, and that was H-O-P-E. I found hope when I moved into Riviera Beach, and I still have that hope because when I moved to Riviera Beach, I was so excited when I looked at the way people were involved in this community. When I got introduced to people like Libby Wesley, Dr. B. Carton Bryant, Ms. Gerald Burt, Ms. Louise Bowie, Ms. Bernie, and I can't think of the last name. When I got introduced to those caliber of people who had this community, Palm Beach County in totality, like a well-oiled machine, you know, Herman and Don Wilson and you and some other people. I can't name
Roddy.
Everybody.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm old now, so my mind's not going to bring up everybody. But there were like about 50 to 75 people that had this community so well organized that information could be put out in hours. And we didn't all have telephones. But we got that information out, and people rallied together for the sake of the community. Not personal issues, not to just read just for, you know, for yourself, but they got the information out. And I would love to see that happen again. And if we can start off with a panel talking about these diseases, how to get the information out to our community, go back to utilizing our churches for that same thing, that would make me ecstatically happy.
Well, that's the back there then, everything, and if you remember, we were going to the churches. The pulpit was our operating room. All the ministers, we'd tell them what we need, and they had a captive audience every Sunday. And we rallied. You missed Florida Brown, of course. I can name more of them because I knew them at the beginning. But we see this is walking right into you as an elected official. See, you wanted to give the day when we were at the church service, government day. The number one word in my remarks at the church today was we got to go back and give everybody hope. See, if you don't have hope, this is when you fall down. And then you call them bums. You call them a misfits and everything. But you got to pick them up and make sure they have hope. That's what keep you from putting a gun to your head. Hard times for everybody. But I think you have given me something that I got to put it together because I will be meeting with the city manager this week. The last thing he said, he was a guest speaker there today, that he'll make an appointment for me to bring him up to date, everything I want to be put together. And one of the things that I want to put a committee like you and Cynthia Beckton and Roseanne Brown and maybe two more people. And see, until you go to where you are now, you need to go through something years ago. It's hard for people to say, well, it's tough times now, but you wasn't reared up in tough times. we were reared up in tough times, and we last. And the only thing we had is survival was the hope in the church. And then
right.
the community, when we use that, what they call, what the African said, it takes a village to rear a child. We really was a village because we always looked after each other. We had to
right.
do it then. I think that I know that Thursday, that's why I'm taking you and Roseanne and Cynthia. See, Liz is dead, so if Liz Wade was alive, because she went through a lot of things back then too, I think that sometime we need to put on a forum for your elected officials. But they
mm-hmm.
understand what they're doing and why they're failing is because they got too much of themselves involved in not having the community is the number one thing. And I know that because I've known you long enough, and then Gerald and a lot of people back there rolled their little sleeves up and got right in there. And where the people are standing on the shoulders of a lot of people way back there, and that's for another show. But I really need you to be my eyes and tell me, because I know our relation is that close that you can call me. And I know if you tell me, I think, he said, Dan, I think you need to put that on. And I'll say, well, Ann, can you make a phone call for a couple of people and we get a panel? And we need to have that. See, the thing that my final remark at the church today was about, don't fight the police department, and the police department stop turning your back on the community. Go out and deal with them, and they'll tell
exactly.
you things. You got to get out of the car, out of the air condition, move and find out, hey, how you all doing on this corner? And then, like Boone Dodd used to do. See, those are the things. Community relation is the best thing. And elected officials only think that they can go to the council meeting and yell and let people yell at them and then go home. No, you need to take time when they have church service, big church service, a community cookout. And go and go to different areas and find out what we need to do in your area. The people living in the area know what needs to be done more than anybody else. You can't
right.
expect everybody to come before you in that chamber. And then that's not going to do it. So
right.
you are saying with your expertise that you're willing to sit down with a committee and make a little changes and offer changes, and then I can set it up with the TV people and have our own forum. And then that not only be because of Riviera, be because of Palm Beach County, because, you know,
let me put it a different way. Anybody can be an expert, so I don't use that term to describe myself. I use the term that I'm passionately in love with Riviera Beach.
Okay.
And that passion will get me up to work for it at any time. I believe in this community, and I believe in the people, because the folks that were here working hard when I got here had the same kind of feeling, and they did not care what it cost them personally to get out there and beat these streets and these woods to provide to make sure the things that I'm enjoying now get put in place. You see, folks like Ms. Bowie didn't have the same kind of freedoms that I'm having today, but she put it in place for me to have.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I say that I am passionately in love with Riviera Beach.
And so am I.
I don't plan to ever move from Riviera Beach. You know, Lake Love is still my birth home, but Riviera Beach is my hope home.
Well, Ann?
I'm here.
No, I got two Anns.
Okay.
I'm Ann McNeil, the boss lady. Where are you, Ann? Ann, are you here? Well, she'll be back home. But, Ann, let me go back and say this here. We got a few more minutes. I got that, and I will. And knowing that Cynthia is a former elected official, and she turned in her bio, she will be the guest speaker for next week, next Sunday.
Okay.
But in interim, Roseanne, you, and Cynthia and I will be having lunch at Freakers Thursday at 12 o'clock. See, that gives you enough time for 2 hours to get back to pick up your granddaughter or grandchild.
Right.
Then you mentioned that you have to be somewhere at that time to go to school. So that's why we're going to do it at 12 o'clock. But I'd like for you to go back in that great mind of yours and pick me one person that we haven't talked about that deserve a right to come on this show one and for me to put on I have the latitude to put whoever I want on the committee with me and telling the story. And
mm-hmm.
and if you remember the movie Roots,
mm-hmm.
and when the man wrote the book and they made a movie out of it, and Kunta Kinte, the slave masters captured him and brought him and sold him over here. And when he always was fighting to try to get back to the along the river over in the African. And he taught Kissy, his daughter, that you must listen and then always tell the story. He was telling the story about the life in the tribe on the Belonga River. And he told Kissy, and then when Kissy had Chicken George, she told Chicken George the story. And Chicken George had 4 sons. He told them the story. I think that we don't tell the story enough. Sometimes we are ashamed of our past, and you shouldn't be ashamed of your past. You ought to be proud of it. See, that's what you're saying, how proud
right.
you are of your being here, how you love Riviera. See, a lot of people, I have to get on, they put us down. I don't let nobody put Riviera down.
Exactly.
And I told people, I was born on S Avenue. It wasn't S Avenue then. It was Acorn Road and then Acorn Boulevard. And it wasn't no, we were the last street to get running water called a tar on the roads. It was dirt, and then it was rocks. And I told many kids, I was born there. What make you think if you were born on S Avenue or reared up in Stony Brook that you supposed to be? And I said this all
right.
the time. If I was born on S Avenue, I didn't turn out. The Callaway kids didn't turn out. My family didn't turn out that bad. So it's not where you born. It's what you do with your life and how you want to fight for a better life. Now, am I losing my mind? Is that the same thing you think?
No. And the perception that you accept from other people, why are we still allowing other people to determine who and what we are? I have conversations with my granddaughter, and I try to explain to her, well, one of my second oldest brother was reared by my mother's oldest sister in Newark, New Jersey. And when he would come down, just the difference in language, the nuance in language, we called our streets roads because they were unpaved. Roads. He didn't know what a road was. And he kept correcting us, this is a street. No, this is a road to us. Now, when we will show you what a street is when we go downtown. See, downtown was paved. Where I live, not one street was paved. So we refer to it as a road. Even though we speak English, the nuances in language is sometimes different. You know, and I had a young man to come from one of the cable companies to hook up some TVs for me. And we had this conversation, and we went back and forth about 5 minutes before I finally stopped him. I said, young man, first of all, you have an island ancestry. I can hear that in your voice. So you speak a little fast for me, just like some people from South Carolina, slow it down so I can understand what you're saying because the nuances between our words quite different. I'm saying one, we're talking about the same thing. but we're using a different word.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't understand what I was trying to explain to him. So we still, and then there's a generational difference in
mm-hmm.
language. So we need to have all of this covered. In whatever panel we put together, there's got to be a young person on there.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily mean somebody that's 16 or somebody that's less than 70.
Well, a generation. You know, well, you're going to have, when we set the panel up, you got to have young people, because what they're doing and the way they look at it through their eyesight is all together than what we were. Now, if you put all people
right.
over there at our age, we can only tell the story from where we started and where we are now.
Right.
Now, there's things that they're doing right now. I think years ago they said they were doing, new math, something
uh-huh.
like that. I said, what do you mean new math? Two and two has always been four, and you going to give me some kind of way to make it something else with the new math? But that's the way it is. We didn't have computers.
Yeah.
We didn't even have air conditioning in the school.
Exactly. And, you know, and my granddaughter looks at me like I'm crazy when I tell her, well, I didn't have a phone. Cell phones didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Computers didn't exist. I used a typewriter. So she looked at me like, what's a typewriter? I said, so the things that you all have and take for granted every day now only came about in the last 55, 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you think they've been around for ages. You need to go back, and I make her Google stuff so she can see what I'm talking about. But, and I guess I went through it when I was young, too. You want to be so eager to make old people sit down, but you don't have the history. You bring new ideas when you're young, and older people need to hear some of these young ideas and
mm-hmm.
different ways of tackling a problem. And then the young people need to understand that the wisdom that they need still exists in these older people.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to make that bridge click.
Well,
and I hear the president talking about human resources. We're not using our human resources well. And we've got to somehow get that problem cleared up.
Well, we can do it in Riviera.
Yeah,
I can't promise
so.
You the county, but I can promise
that.
You in Riviera. And we need to do that tomorrow. That's how quickly we need to get in there. Let me go back to something about the panel. I'm going to, when we'll discuss this with your sisters and the brilliant one, Robbie, sometime I have to hold him back because sometimes Robbie thinks that he may have all the sense and nobody else got him, but that's my job. Why we got to do that? We owe that. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus took the old man because he knew the road, but he took the young man because he could carry the load. And
mm-hmm.
people got to understand that. If you take an old man with wisdom and a young man with strength and got an open mind, you got a tremendous combination right there. See, and we must do that. See, kids, when you met me, I was a coach. I've been around coaching kids over 63 years. And I think that's the easiest thing because you have to sometimes listen at what they think. See, if you're going to
mm-hmm.
tell them everything and they got to do it that way and you can't bend, you're going to lose some of them. So you got to figure out what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. And if we can learn that, we can be sufficient in our ideas. Ann, are you back here with me?
Yes. Oh.
And Magneto?
Mr. Calloway?
Yes.
Mr. Calloway, and she's not able to get off of mute, so she wanted me to just tell you that and just to
okay, then,
let you
as
know.
Okay, then, as long as I know, because we got our time is putting it up, I need to button it up. Ann, is there any finally a final word that you want to say to the listening audience about whatever you want to say to them.
Just that I appreciate this. I have not been, I call this adult talk. I haven't had adult talks in a long time. And this is refreshing, but I am ready to do whatever it is that I can to assist this community to moving forward.
Well, can I go public on the air saying that in the next 2 months, will you be a guest back on this program, and then you can give us an update with what we're going to talk with your two sisters? And,
sure.
And put together a suggestion that we need to cover because of, this is the first quarter. We started in September.
I would be more than happy to.
Well, I love that. And then that's a done deal because when the moment they made me the spokesperson and the chair of putting all the events together, I told them I need unlimited personnel when I need to put my own team together. See, when sometimes people at certain age, they don't know about when you were doing what you were doing in Gerald and everything. But as they stand on your shoulders, I need to remind them that when you got gray hair, that's from wisdom and giving us hope. And so we'll leave with that. And the listening audience is... So Ann want me to close up?
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, I'm still here, but I think that's what she said, that she would not be able to come back. So.
Okay,
yes,
Deja.
She wants me to close up.
Okay, then. Let me tell this here, Ann. I'm so enthused because, you always had a great mind. Gerald had a great mind. I would rather think that's on your genes. And then Jerry had your late sister, when you told me she passed, she was an outstanding little ball player for me when she came over here and stayed with you all and went down to the Palm Beach Community College. Let me put it this way here. I will talk with you and the young ladies, and all of y'all are young, because that makes me feel young when you all are young. And so we'll be putting something together, and you and I and the sisters will put that committee together. Now, that would be my recommendation. I just need you all worried. And we're going to do that because we're going to save Riviera. I can tell you that right now. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Ann Isles, as I guess, is there any final remark that you want to make, Ann?
No, just have a blessed afternoon.
Okay. Thank you for listening. We enjoyed us. Next week we'll be at the same time, and our guest will be Cynthia Becton, former counsel, former worker down there feeding all those people down on 16th Street at the church there for years, a member of Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church. We were there the day. So God bless you, and everybody go home and enjoy themselves and stay healthy. We are through.